birthday parties, buffets, Halloween, Thanksgiving, the Super Bowl. Our culture knows how to eat. And every time we eat, we are faced with the temptation to eat too much. I don't know, have you ever eaten too much? Perhaps you have drank too much. How do you feel? This is not a rhetorical question. How do you feel after you've eaten too much? Sick, nauseous, sleepy, uncomfortable. And then you gotta get past that and you come to eat again and you have the same temptation to eat too much or to drink too much. And here's the challenge. God wants us to eat. He gave Adam and Eve food. He gave them every plant yielding seed and trees with seed in their fruit. Later on, he'd give to humanity meat to eat. And if we don't eat, we die. So in that sense, we are made to be consumers. We consume. So God wants us to eat. He wants us to eat enough, but not too much. And by eating enough, but not too much, we learn to eat by faith. He taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." So today, my hope is that we will learn how to put off the deadly sin of gluttony and learn a little more what does it mean to eat by faith. So look at Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23 at verse 19. "Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags." Then look across the page at verse 13 of chapter 24. "My son, eat honey, for it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste." Turn over to chapter 25, verse 16. One page over. "If you've found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it." And then verse 27 of chapter 25. "It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory." To eat enough, but not too much. Throughout the book of Proverbs, Solomon continually is encouraging or warning his son about the company he keeps. And you can track all the way through the book, and it's this group and this group and this group. And here it's don't hang out with drunkards and gluttons. It leads to poverty. They fall into slumber. Sleep and poverty comes upon them. Well, in the New Testament, Paul similarly warns the Corinthians, bad company corrupts good morals. He says this in 1 Corinthians 15. "If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. We are to be watchful. We are to be sober-minded. Drunkenness, gluttony are to have no part in the Christian life. Now, gluttony is perhaps the most overlooked of the seven deadly sins. We are immersed in a culture of gluttony. So it's hard to identify. In fact, as I was talking to somebody about this, she said to me, I don't really even hear the word gluttony. I hear maybe overeating, but I never hear the word gluttony, and I never hear it described as a sin. So it's hard to identify when you're immersed in it, and it's perhaps even harder to take a stand. Now, I was interested that a week ago, as I'm preparing this sermon, the Wall Street Journal had a book report, a book review in it. This is the name of the article, Hooked, Lured into Gluttony. And it's a book report on a book that's titled Hooked, Food, Free Will, and How the Food Giants Exploit Our Addictions. And he says this, America's eating habits have changed radically over the past 40 years. We consume more and more food of less and less nutritional value. The nation's adult obesity rate is now 42.4%. I just want to let that number sit there for a moment. Within America, within the United States, the adult obesity rate is almost 50%. Wow. The book is going to develop the idea of addiction. And I like this guy's definition of addiction. A repetitive behavior that some people find difficult to quit. A repetitive behavior that some people find difficult to quit. And he's going to argue that eating is one of those repetitive habits that some people find difficult to quit. And he argues in the book that companies, large conglomerates, food companies, understand this and have started to develop their food products to hook people. Of all the substances that can get us hooked, Mr. Moss says, nothing is faster than food when it comes to stirring up the brain. Certain kinds of food, that is. Those foods are the highly processed and sweetened concoctions that dominate the American diet. Cereals, sodas, that's pop, by the way, fruit juices, cookies, packaged meats, as well as the many condiments like salad dressings and pasta sauces that are packed with sodium and sugar. Consuming these items delivers intense and immediate pleasure and creates a need that fits Mr. Moss's broad definition of addiction. And then he says this, snacks, often processed products, high in convenience but low in nutritional value, now account for about 25% of daily calorie consumption. Snacks. 25% of our daily calorie consumption. And that's not even to talk about all the calories we drink. Social norms have adjusted themselves accordingly. It has become socially acceptable to eat anything, anywhere, anytime. So So then he says this. This is the critique of the book. The author of the article says, he portrays individuals as having little or no capacity for reasoned judgment or for controlling their desires and replacing bad habits with good ones. He mentions research showing that only 15% of us actually meet the food addict criteria. So here's a person who's going to write a book, says, we're addicted to food, but maybe we're not actually able to overcome it. Well, the Bible says something quite different. This is the warning that Solomon gives to his son. It's the warning that Paul gives to his readers in Corinth. So we must eat and drink. We simply cannot abstain. And again, this becomes the challenge. How do you do some of this without running to excess? Now, we use the term glutton, which, by the way, comes from the idea of the throat or to swallow. But we use the term glutton as in a glutton for punishment. That's somebody who keeps coming back for more and more and more, usually defeats. Some of us were gluttons for punishment when we were in seminary and we played ping pong. There were some very good ping pong players, and if you want to get better, you play better players, but you rarely win. And so some of us were just gluttons for punishment because we would go play the same guy who we know was going to beat us, but we just keep coming back for more. So that's kind of how maybe we use that idea of glutton. You come back for more, you can't say no. Gluttony is the overindulgence and the consumption of anything to the point of waste. An inordinate desire to consume more than is required. So what I'd like you to do is, part of the sermon has to do with gluttony beyond eating and drinking. So keep a bigger frame in mind. Of course, as it relates to food, it's eating without restraint. So for instance, in the United States has 4.25% of the world's population. We consume about 17% of the world's energy. That's just a statistic. There it is. Are we consuming more than our fair share, as it were? Are we consuming it to excess? That's for a different discussion at a different time. But gluttony fits in with a much broader idea of consuming too much. Now, in the scriptures, there are relatively few verses that have to do with gluttony about food. And I read some of them about honey. I don't know if you like honey. If you eat too much honey, you indeed might vomit. But honey is good. It's a sweetener. There are many verses, however, about drunkenness, drinking to excess. But again, understand the issue. Gluttony is the consumption of God's good gifts to the point of excess, often in the area of food and drink. So we ought to be thinking luxury, extravagance, indulgence. We actually now talk about binging, like Netflix binging. That would be consuming to excess. There are times, perhaps, to watch some television or to watch a movie. I don't know about 12 hours in one sitting or in one day, but that's the term we have. Work could even fall into this. I don't think anybody ever talks about binging on work, but there are those who do work 12, 14, 16-hour days over and over and over again. That's a form of gluttony. This is the environment, though, in which we live and move and have our being. as Western Christians. We live in a society, in a culture of excess that does not know the limits. So gluttony can have very serious consequences, physically and spiritually. Improper eating has been linked to heart disease, high blood pressure, stroke, diabetes, sleep apnea, and various other ailments. In fact, on the way to Texas, I was listening to the news in the car and heard the discussion about why the mortality rate was so much higher in America from COVID than it is in Africa. And one of the postulations is obesity. That COVID tends to attack the lungs and so forth. Well, if you're obese, that makes it already hard to breathe, and this just compounds the problem. They're doing research. But it's a danger. Alcohol abuse can lead to liver disease and diabetes and heart problems and digestive problems and eye problems, a weakened immune system, not to mention mental impairment. None of these effects are helpful to the Christian life. Not a one of those effects helps you be more effective in your work. Not a one of those things helps you be more effective in your relationships, in being a good neighbor. Not a one of those things helps us love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Rather, those effects are debilitating. So we need to be watchful. Now, weight is no measure of spirituality. This is the word of caution. We are not to judge others regarding their size. And that's got nothing to do with this. You and I don't know the details of other persons' lives. It's not our place to pass judgment in this area. Because it is possible to eat moderately and be overweight. It's also possible to eat too much, too often, too eagerly, too richly, with too much attention or too much anticipation, and still be thin. That's Aquinas' approach to gluttony on the other side of it. So he would say, when he writes on this, that we are guilty of it whenever we eat too much, too often, too eagerly, too richly, with too much attention, and too much anticipation. I don't know, do you anticipate your next meal? Maybe some of you already are. You know what's coming for lunch. Are you anticipating tomorrow night's dinner? So gluttony is not ultimately an issue of the size of a person's body, but the shape of the embodied soul. Gluttony really has to do with the soul, with the heart. And it makes us ask the question, what drives the desire for too much? What drives the desire for a little more or a lot more? Now, it's not wrong to enjoy good food. You can look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul's going to address this. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. So it's not wrong to enjoy good food. The feasts of the Old Testament celebrated God's blessing. It was the time for Israel to gather and to enjoy the blessing of God. Trouble comes when we run to excess. Drunkenness and gluttony dull the senses. They make us sluggish. And if you doubt that, what do many people do after Thanksgiving dinner? They take a nap. Why? Because overeating makes us sluggish. That's what Solomon has said to his son. It leads to poverty because it makes people slumber. Those who are drunk tend to sleep it off. They dull the senses, make us sluggish and unfit for service. But rather, we are to be ready for service. So Paul, writing to the Romans in Romans 13, says this: "The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Again, we are to be sober-minded. We're to be watchful. And things that make us sluggish don't help that. So again, overindulgence forces the question, what or who will control us? What or who is controlling you? Are we going to be controlled by our appetite or by the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 5, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." So Paul, writing to the Ephesians, put those side by side. You can be filled with wine, or you can be filled with the Spirit. He writes to the Philippians, "Many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things." So what's going to control you? Your appetite? Your belly? Or will it be the Spirit of God? If your Bibles are still open, turn over to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30 at verse 7. "Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. He asks for enough, but not too much, lest he denies the Lord. And this is the real danger of gluttony, self-sufficiency. In the midst of luxury and extravagance, we will forget God. And throughout the scriptures, particularly the Old Testament, Israel is warned over and over and over and over again, when they are blessed, not to forget God, lest they become full and say, this is what I have done. This is what I have accomplished. So if you tend to eat too much, Proverbs 23, the opening of the chapter, has a word for you. Look at verses 1 and 2. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, observe carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite. I suppose that is one tool to address gluttony. However, a knife to the throat doesn't really address the problem. It's a technological fix to a spiritual issue. Just like total abstinence doesn't actually address the heart issues of drunkenness. It can keep you from getting drunk, but it actually won't affect the spiritual component of drunkenness. A knife to the throat, abstinence, does not touch the heart. Now, maintaining a healthy body is good stewardship. But to focus exclusively on the body is short-sighted. It's too narrow. Gluttony is really a form of idolatry and a lack of faith. Do we overeat because we're afraid we won't see another meal? I better eat now, and I better eat all I can because I don't know when I'm going to see another meal. Or is it possible that we feel entitled to certain luxuries? Are we driven to overindulgence due to pride or envy? And at this point, it becomes similar to greed, which we'll look at, Lord willing, in a few weeks. We must put off gluttony. Don't excuse it. Don't tolerate it. Don't cherish it. Certainly don't feed it. Mortify it. We are to put gluttony to death. But gluttony won't go quietly. Your flesh will fight. Our flesh is accustomed to eating. Our flesh is accustomed to indulging whenever, whatever, and however much we want. We have trained our bodies and our souls to indulge. Again, we live in a culture that does that. So if we are going to retrain our bodies and souls, or if we are going to restrain our bodies, that means going to war. Because your flesh will fight. People often eat when they're bored. This is a big COVID issue. People were home, and they'd go into the kitchen, and they'd eat. They'd go back to work, and then they'd go back into the kitchen and eat more. Sometimes we eat when we're bored, and what you have to tell yourself is, I'm bored, I'm not hungry. I need to find something else to do. We often binge in Netflix when we are bored. I don't know what I'm going to do, so I'll just turn on the screen. Well, maybe we should do something else. By the way, that's also the connection to pornography. When I preach on lust, that's a key piece. The boredom. I have time. I fall into that temptation. So it will take work if we're to put off gluttony. Because when the flesh is no longer gratified, it is not happy. Children throw temper tantrums. So does your stomach. Try fasting. Try fasting even just for 12 hours. If you've done that, you know what I'm talking about. What the body needs is discipline. We need to break the power of our flesh. So in the area of food and gluttony, there is a great place for fasting. For a period of time, deliberately and intentionally reduce the pleasure of food and drink. Alcohol, caffeine, put that off. For a period of time, reduce your intake of media. Relearn faith. And again, this will take work. It will take effort. Because you're used to doing something else. You have other habits, and now you're going to seek to change those. And Jesus is our leader here. He goes into the wilderness, and he fasts for 40 days. And while he's there, he learned that he didn't live by bread alone. It's the lesson that Israel was to learn in the wilderness with manna that came daily until the sixth day when they had enough for 2 days. They were to learn that they lived by faith. And so we too must learn to trust God. He will sustain you. That's his promise. We can trust him to provide our daily bread and to be thankful for whatever he provides. Now, for some of us, we may have a greater temptation to overeat than others. Well, if that's your temptation, you should stay away from buffets. Maybe that's too simple. Portion control, just limit how much you eat or how much you drink. Don't buy junk food. My son's good at that. So if you want to see a junkie, he comes to my house. Unfortunately. Perhaps we should spend more time, instead of being bored and saying, I'm going to go eat, or bored and I'm going to go watch Netflix, meditate more on Jesus' own deprivation and suffering. Consider more intently his body and blood, which he says in John 6 is true food and true drink. Think on what it cost him so that we might gain abundance. That feast at the resurrection. That's the real celebration. That's the real festival. That's the real food. So we should, and we can, put off the sin of gluttony. When empowered by the Holy Spirit, we see indulgence as God sees it, as a form of idolatry, and realize that to free us from that, Jesus suffered and died. When we understand that, then we will be motivated to flee gluttony. We will be motivated to mortify it, to put it to death, to put it off. And then we will be freed to eat and drink to the glory of God. Whatever you do, Paul says, whatever you do, whatever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. We'll do it to his glory rather than for our self-satisfaction. And if this is an area of your struggle, and you do want more help in putting this off, talk to somebody. Talk to me, talk to one of the elders, talk to somebody else in the church, and say, I need help. will walk with you on this, as we will if you're struggling with pride or envy or any of the other of these seven deadly sins. Because God calls us to put off that old nature, that old man, that Adamic nature, and to put on Christ. And if you've never done that, if you've never committed yourself to Jesus Christ, you can do so right now. You can make a change. This is the way I used to be going, but today I want to make a change. And as I pray, you can pray and ask the Lord God to forgive you, to give you a new heart, to give you new affections, to set you free from the law of sin and death, and give you new life in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us food. Food and drink. We've already sung a lot about that today in the Psalms we've sung. Thank you for the wonderful spices and flavors. Think of all the worldwide cuisine. It's like a rainbow for our mouth. As much as light has all of the different colors, so the tastes are myriad and different, and we thank you for those. But Lord, we want to experience your gifts by faith, not in a way that abuses them. We live in a gluttonous culture that doesn't know when to say when. Lord, by your Spirit, we are committed to putting this off, to not eat too much or to drink too much, or too eagerly, or too often, or with too much intent, or too much anticipation. God, be merciful to us sinners. Give us this day our daily bread. Teach us to walk by faith, that we might eat and drink to your glory and not to our own self-satisfaction. And Lord, if there is anyone here who needs to make a commitment to you for the very first time, hear them. Hear their cry for help. Forgive their sins. Give them a new heart and new affections. Open their eyes that they might be saved. And this we pray in Jesus' name, amen.